The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first of all, as you've been hearing on the news, a status orange warning for rain remains in counties Dublin, Wicklow, Louth and Meath until 2 o'clock this afternoon. There's a widespread warning of potential flooding as rainfall is heavy and persistent, and also a chance of thunderstorms. Travel conditions could be hazardous. Visibility will be limited. Joining me now to talk about the weather is Alan O'Reilly of Carlow Weather. Alan, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, what does that orange weather warning mean in the case of this persistent rain?
It's really the amount of rain to fall in a short period of time, 24 hours. So over 50 millimetres of rain was forecast to fall, which is why the orange warning was triggered. Some weather stations have seen 50 millimetres. Many have seen over 35 to 40 millimetres of rain already. And that rain is going to continue in parts of the east and the north right through this morning into this afternoon. And really, it'll be late this afternoon before that rain finally clears Dublin and some other areas.
Now, how severe is 50 millimetres in 24 hours? I mean, what would we get in a week or a month, for example?
That's just short of a month's rainfall this time of the year, really, Pat. You're looking at a month's rainfall in a day, pretty much. And, you know, parts of North Louth, actually, a private weather station there has recorded 82 millimetres in 24 hours. So some areas are seeing more than a month's rainfall.
Yeah, no, we know that Dublin City Council, for example, got its drainage people in early because even though it's not autumn and you shouldn't have a lot of leaves and all of that, there's no doubt going to be blocked drains, which will lead to flooding in areas of roads, for example, rendering the driving very hazardous.
Yes, a lot of, I suppose, you know, you will get local build-up. And the problem is the amount of rainfall, some of the drains will just become overwhelmed, even, you know, if they're not blocked. It's just the volume of rain that's coming really is so hard at this time in terms of, some of the stations are recording 10 millimetres in 1 hour. So that's very heavy rainfall.
Now, the duration of this, you're talking about 2 o'clock, it should ease off a bit. And we're only talking about the eastern counties particularly. So how are things in the west?
Well, things in the west are generally much better today, but they have seen very heavy rainfall. In fact, there was thunderstorms there yesterday, and I shared on my social media platforms some flooding that hit Limerick. Drumcollagher, I think is how you pronounce it, was hit with some flooding. Unfortunately, homes were flooded there yesterday evening. And there's been a huge difference, Pat, between west and east in the last few weeks, because if we look at the soil moisture deficits, the ground was saturated in the west. As we're here in Carlow, we had 53 millimetres of a soil moisture deficit. So there's been a massive divide between the rain that has fallen in the last few weeks in the west and the east. So the west is very thankful that it's not them that's getting this rainfall, because they already have flooding.
Yeah. Now, the question of what that does to the soil, I mean, if the soil is sort of packed up with lack of moisture, so when the rain comes, will it penetrate or will it just roll off?
Well, certainly during the heavier burst, some of it will run off, which will cause problems into your streams and your rivers and also obviously low-lying areas. But I'm in my own garden, just taking my own, it has taken the rainfall rather well because it has been so dry, but not so dry that the ground is really hard, because we did have a bit of rain in the last week or so, which has helped soften the ground a little bit. So hopefully most of the ground will take it, but certainly some runoff is likely.
Is this good news for farmers then?
It's good news for the farmers that are looking for some grass growth in the southeast, yes. But for those that are looking to try and maybe get into prepare for harvesting, that's not good news. So it's a very mixed bag. But in the west, there's a lot of farmers under pressure because there's a lot of sodden ground, there's waterlogged ground. So they'll be looking forward to a bit of a respite from the rain.
Are they going to get it? Because those, I suppose, doomsayers of a couple of weeks ago when the great warm weather was there all over the country, but particularly sunny weather in the East Coast, they were saying, oh, this is our summer.
Well, it is going to get better, Pat, but that summer hot sunny weather isn't coming back anytime soon. The Azores high pressure is trying to push up and it's not going to get up as far as us, but it is going to keep a lot of those weather systems away. So only light showers and a lot of cloud really for the rest of this week, but thankfully not much rainfall for the rest of the week, only a little bit here and there.
Can you look any further afield into August?
Well, that high pressure, there is some signals that it might start to make a little bit further inroads coming towards us at the start of August, but the jet stream is buckling, and it's, you know, what we're seeing, like we've seen when we got those few days, it is a few days, Pat, rather than a persistent block of high pressure that would keep us locked into dry weather or good weather for 2 weeks. But August is still summer for the meteorological seasons, at least. So we still have a whole month of summer to come, Pat, so we'll keep the hope.
Mm, all right. And in the meantime, Alan, I suppose people should be careful when they're driving today. Visibility may be poor. And sometimes those heavy rain showers, they come upon you. You're driving along the N7, for example, and it's dry as a bone, and then suddenly you get an incredible downpour which renders visibility almost impossible. And you should really be slowing down, stick on your hazard lights and all of that to alert the person behind that you've had to, you know, brake precipitously.
Yes, absolutely. And also, if you're travelling from the west and going east, don't expect the conditions to be the same as when you started out on your journey. There's certainly going to be a lot of lying water on the road. So you will want to take great care in the east this morning, because there's a lot of lying water.
And bring your umbrella. It's still warm, of course. Anyway, Alan, thank you very much for joining us. That's Alan O'Reilly of Carlow Weather. Now, speaking of driving, it is the season, believe it or not, for driving lessons, because we've got brighter evenings, longer days. So there are more learners on the roads than at any other time of the year. And particularly for them, they have to be really careful. And the N drivers recently qualified, they don't really have great experience of driving, so they should be excessively careful on a day like today. But who are those who are actually still hoping to pass their test this summer? And are today's novice motorists better than the rest of us because of all the new rules that have been put in place? News Talk's Sarah Madden reports.
Learning to drive in Ireland used to be a bit of a laissez-faire affair.
14.
You learned to drive at 14?
Yeah.
Do you still drive? Are you still on the road?
No, I'm banned.
But not so much since the 2014 introduction of mandatory lessons. If you were to take your driving test again today, would you pass?
No, I'd probably fail it, yeah. I'd just run a red light or something, just a bad habits over the years, you know.
The system certainly isn't perfect.
This is all about practicing to pass the test rather than practicing to be around a driver.
And it means people are now getting on the road later and later.
More under 25-year-olds would not hold a learner permit than would.
So what's it like to have L plates on Irish roads today?
Stalling the car just as the green light happening, and loads of people beeping behind me, some guy like shouting out the side of his car.
And would any of us experienced drivers pass the test in 2025?
So what we're going to do now is we're moving off from a stationary position. We have obviously the car on. So what you're going to do is you're going to check your mirrors. Mm-hmm. Okay, once you've identified there's nothing coming, you can signal your intention to move out and then check your blind spot.
Lara Lewis is PR and media spokesperson with the Irish School of Motoring.
I actually, and I have no problem saying it, I am driving since I was like, obviously when you could drive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say 16, I'm going to say 17. And I was a very good, confident driver. And luckily, I took to driving quite well. However, I failed my test 3 times.
Did you?
I passed on the 4th time. Yeah, when I was 17.
And what was it that kept tripping you up?
I can't even remember. All I know is I just kept crying.
Now a driving instructor herself, Lara's seen people fail for wild and wonderful reasons.
When you do your driving test, you cannot arrive in high heels.
Oh.
You cannot arrive in a shoe that does not have like closed heel and toe, right? So no sliders, no flip-flops, no high heels, no sandals. One girl arrived up to do her test. This is a story. And the driving instructor said, come here, you're not going to be taken out in those shoes, because she was wearing flip-flops or something like that. And she's like, really? And he was like, yeah. So anyhow, he said, run down to Dunn's there. So she went down to Dunn's and she bought a pair of shoes. And she came back to do her test and she was walking a bit like a duck. And the instructor said, like, you know, why are you walking funny? And she goes, oh, I'm bringing them back after this. Like, I kept the tie, you know, the thing that ties the two shoes together. She kept that on because she wanted to bring the shoes back because she'd never wear them again. Oh my God, like what people actually do,
yeah,
you know.
That has to be a great treat.
Yeah.
It's more than a decade since I passed my test second time around. So Lara's taking me on the Fingal testing route to see how I'd get on if I were to sit it again today.
So we're going to take the second exit straight ahead here. Okay,
yeah.
It's a little roundabout again.
Do you have to indicate? I can't remember.
No, I was waiting to see would you do it. And you did.
At the last minute.
You did.
The common reasons for failing the test include, so it's inadequate observation, that's especially at junctions and when changing lanes, then incorrect road positioning. Another big one is failing to adhere to speed limits or other traffic controls, which you really do wonder, how do people not adhere to speed limits when they're doing the test? But there you go.
Geraldine Herbert is motoring editor with the Sunday Independent.
The first car I ever had was a little van, and it was a car I was definitely a good thing to learn to drive in, because it certainly made me use my mirrors. And I did. I sat my test very young and I did actually pass it the first time. The pass rate overall is about 50%. So about half of the people who sit the test fail it. But I came from, like, my dad was big into cars and I lived, you know, quite close to Mondello. So I suppose learning to drive was always a big thing for me. So I was lucky enough I did pass the first time, and I loved driving from the minute I did it. And obviously it was a manual car, it was a van, and you know, I loved the freedom of it all, so I was determined to pass my test.
Not everyone's as successful as Geraldine was, however. In 2010, the RSA revealed the nation's worst driver was still regularly attempting to pass after failing repeatedly for 16 years, while Corkman Ray Heffernan is still vowing to pass despite failing more than 21 times.
It depends as well as where you sit. Regionally, there can be quite big differences in where you sit the test. The highest pass rate from what I could see was Cork in Ballincollig, was 75% of people who sit the test pass it. And the lowest, 39.5 in Charlestown in Dublin, 38.2 in Mulhuddard. It does differ quite significantly.
The average age of driving test candidates has varied over the years too. Now the median age of those obtaining a first learner permit is 25.
25, I'm surprised. I would have thought maybe 30.
Lara Lewis again.
Because I have a lot of students who are learning in their 40s.
Wow.
You know, they live in cities and towns and they've got buses. They've had no need to drive, and now they're buying properties outside of the city and they have a little bit further to travel and they need to drive. I actually had two students who were in their 80s. Two lovely women. Going to go left here, very good. Real eclectic sort of mix of people, really.
So this is an automatic car. Why are we learning in an automatic car?
Well, most people looking for lessons nowadays are actually looking for lessons in an automatic car.
Really?
So yeah, and I think a large part of that is because the vehicle that most students and learners have access to would be maybe a parent's car. So you know, they're hybrids, they're electrics. We're going to go left at the end of the road, and automatics, yeah.
Do you see a time when the manual test will be obsolete?
Yes, 100% I can see that. I mean, already, like, there's countries that use, like, an automated driving test, or they have a robot, essentially, in the car. But, yeah, they examine you. And that is in place in some countries. So,
wow.
I mean, if that's in place, I can imagine that not just the tester, but the driving instructor, everything would become obsolete. Never mind manual to automatic. But
So it might be that we're all just in driverless cars, so there's no need for a driving test at all.
Yeah, like, it's a progressive thing, and who knows what's going to happen in the future. But the only, I mean, for now, the only thing I would say is that I would say there's been a huge increase in people looking to drive automatic, moving away from the manual.
There's no right or wrong time to take your driving test, but Lara says the summer can be a particularly hazardous time for learners on the road.
What I find in the summer is that the kids are off school. So you've got, like, lots of kids playing, you've got lots of kids on bicycles, those mopeds, scooters, you know, you've got a lot of traffic on the road, so you've got to be a little bit more observant. Yeah.
The e-scooter thing is definitely a big one, and you see lads on e-scooters going against traffic and stuff, which is nuts.
Irish comedian Kevin O'Donoghue is finally learning to drive at the ripe old age of 33.
Apart from being lazy, I was never really in a position where I absolutely had to drive, gun to the head kind of scenario. I grew up close to the city centre. Mm-hmm. Week went into week, year went into year, and I never did it. I think it got to the point where I sort of realised that public transport in Dublin, number one, is pretty poor, as everybody knows. If I wanted to do things like adult things, like drive myself to the airport, I'm always relying on a lift from somebody. I was like, okay, I've had enough of this. I'm really afraid now that when I get my licence, people are going to be calling in favours, and I'm going to have to drive to a lot of places that I don't want to.
Being an older L-plate carrier makes for good material for Kevin's stand-up sets at the likes of the Stag's Head and the Crack Den.
One thing that I got really confused by, I don't know whether other people get confused by it, is roundabouts.
Okay.
And knowing, it took me ages, because I asked about three different people, what do you do in a roundabout? And I got three different answers. So I've kind of landed on one thing that this driving instructor is telling me, and that's what I'm going with.
Okay.
But people were saying, like, no, if, you know, you have to indicate right if you're going to the right of the roundabout, left you're going left. And then someone else is like, just indicate when you're coming off the roundabout. It's like, if I get this wrong, I'll fail the whole thing. So somebody just tell me the right answer.
Statistically, learner drivers and those with their N plates are the most likely to cause accidents on the road. Though Kevin sees lots of dodgy driving from experienced road users too.
Yeah, there's rules of the road and everybody adheres to them and everybody does that for their test. But there's a whole load of different approaches going on out there and what people have been taught or what they've kind of gone with. I feel that's a big thing. Or like, I was in the car with my dad one day and he was like, something happened with some car that went by. He's like, beep at that guy. You're meant to beep at that guy. I was like, am I? I don't think so. The one thing I've also seen a good bit, and I think maybe as a learner driver, it could be a bit of a thing because you're probably really trying to adhere to speed limits. And you notice it's kind of an eye-opening moment. You're like, hey, not everybody drives at the speed limit. What's going on here? Yeah. And I feel like I've been in scenarios where people are kind of getting up behind you, right on the back of you, and then they, like, aggressively overtake you. And it's like, I'm probably just going to catch up with you at the next red light, man. It's grand.
While Kevin waits for his test date, I'm just about finishing up mine.
And the handbrake is here. I think you did very well, Sarah, by the way.
I didn't pass, though, did I?
Do you know what? No, you did really well. Just a couple of things. Okay, so remember we were talking about the mirror signal manoeuvre technique? On a number of occasions, you change direction without checking your mirrors first.
Uh-oh.
Your wing mirrors first. And your left hand turns...
dodgy?
Not dodgy, but too wide. Ordinarily, everything you did was safe. There was nothing dangerous about your driving today, so you wouldn't have got a grade 3.
Good, right. So
you might have, like, kind of got a few grade 2s, but, like, no grade 3.
Okay, super. So I'm not a total liability in my Newstalk branded car.
Absolutely not. No, you're safe. Newstalk can be safe in the knowledge that you're actually okay to drive.
good,
will come back in one piece today.
And that report from Sarah Madden. Now, some of the reflections from our listeners on that report. I was a motorcyclist in my late teens and early 20s in the late 60s and early 70s, but I never had to do a test. A couple of years ago, I decided to take it up again. Having to do the motorcycle test after 6 years of motoring has made me a much safer car driver. Everyone should be retested periodically, says Kevin in Old Town. Well, the problem is the waiting list and so on. They'd need to be removed before you could even contemplate a retest, I suppose. Hi, Pat. I'm the son of a driving instructor, passed my test 24 years ago, never had an accident since, as I'm a salesman on the road. The problem with the test is that if you drove like you should during the test, you're more likely to have an accident. The main thing is about anticipating what other drivers are going to do. That's from Dave. Read the learner novice drivers. Why are they putting the L or N plates inside the back window? Is it legal? I will give learner and novice drivers all the time they need, but one might get impatient with the driver who is very hesitant for no reason. I flashed a driver recently for not moving at lights, only seeing the L plate when the sun hit it from a different angle. The plates are there for a reason. That's from Austin in Fermoy. Well, I never thought about it. Yeah, I see them all the time. Sticking the L, and sometimes both, because they've got two learners and young drivers in the family. And I wonder, does it obstruct the view from the rearview mirror? But I never thought about it not being visible because of light reflection. That is a point we should think about. If 50% of people fail the test, surely the training is inadequate. The test scores vary by instructor, or perhaps the standard is just too high.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.